Yes, you are. Here we go with the John Curley Sherry Elicker Show. There's Andrew right over there. Don't forget, anytime you can write to us at mynorthwest.com. Although Andrew says,
just don't.
Okay, or you can text. Who knows? Don't yell at the radio. That's not going to help you. Yell at Joe, 1-888-973-5476. Here comes Sherry.
Here comes Sherry.
And cupcakes.
Sally
also likes dogs, but not kids.
Yeah, gotta get it. Should update the song, because didn't you have that third removed?
I did have it removed, yes. Could in the next version, could maybe I just have like pretty hair or not terrible looking eyes or something?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Do an update.
Okay.
James Adler on for you. Who'd you donate the third to?
It's in a mason jar in my kitchen.
Oh, okay, good. All right, we actually have some other news other than all that. You ready?
Yeah.
By the way, coming on at what time is this guy coming on? Former FBI and CIA intelligence officer joins us, 4:06, to discuss FISA, our tin hat segment that I did yesterday, and whether or not... what they collect on us, is it a violation of the First and Fourth Amendment? Is the Constitution still considered when the big government wants all of our info? He's going to give us some information about why it's so important.
Oh, that's a tease.
It is. Mm-hmm. Oh. We avoided that one. There is an Amber Alert issued for a former Yakima police officer who is accused of murdering his ex-girlfriend and kidnapping a one-year-old. An Amber Alert looking for this guy. Wow.
Yeah, he actually killed his ex-husband as well.
Hang on 1 second.
West Richland Elementary School yesterday afternoon. They believe Weezer shot and killed a woman at the Wiley Elementary School. During a search of his home last night, police found another person dead, and those victims have not been identified. But the Amber Alert says the suspect is accused of killing his wife and his girlfriend.
Well,
our sister station in Seattle gave us some details about Weezer, who they say was a former Yakima police officer. He hasn't been with the Yakima Police Department since February of 2022, and investigators say he's facing a long list of charges, including raping a 16-year-old girl in her sleep this past February. Again, you want to watch out for Elias Weezer, who allegedly took off with his one-year-old son, Roman, maybe on the way to Mexico, but could be in our area. Washington State Patrol think they took off in a silver 2009 Toyota Corolla, and now we're also looking for a black Nissan four-door that may be involved in this, so we're keeping you up to date on that.
Well, tragic for that whole family involved with that guy, but tracking him down through an Amber Alert. I wonder how often those Amber Alerts actually ever catch anybody, right? You look up, looking for a 1987 Honda Accord, but you drive by the thing at like 70 miles an hour. People are like, there's a Honda Accord right over there. I wonder how many times they catch anybody.
I don't know. You never hear the follow-up on that due to an Amber Alert. But they've got all kinds of alerts now. They have a silver alert for an elderly person that may go may have gone missing.
Mm-hmm.
They've got different ones now.
California has them by race.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, because that's important. Joe's looking up right now. How often does Amber Alert actually catch anybody?
I don't see any definitive numbers. Well, it said, okay, this is going back a ways, but in 2013, they said that 657 children had been saved due to an Amber Alert from 1996 to 2013.
Okay. Doesn't cost us anything.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I know. So it's like best in one a year, right. If that.
Right.
Three
if
a
that.
Year?
Well... what was it, 1996?
96 to 2013.
Okay. Yeah. Here's why this thing's still there. You know, you want to vote against it, then, okay, you're not giving us any tools in order to catch people. Does it actually work? Well, no, but does it cost us anything? I don't know what the cost is to run the thing, but it makes people feel like, well, at least we're doing something, right?
Yeah, and if it helps with one kid, it's worth it. Okay. If there's no real cost associated with it, otherwise it's ineffective and we shouldn't be paying for it. But right. Yeah, I mean, why not?
Okay, good. We're all okay with that. We're all going to continue to Amber. Okay,
I reluctantly admit that I turned mine off on my phone.
Oh,
well, I was doing mornings and it would go off at like 1 a.m. and
I so you don't care. This is an interesting case, and the federal government probably, I guess this is probably going to the Supreme Court at some point as it makes its way up. So you're in a self-driving car. You're sitting there in the car and the car malfunctions. It's not your fault. The car malfunctions. And in this particular case, the car malfunctions and the car lurches forward and kills a motorcyclist. So then you get into, well, whose fault is it? You're in the car. The car is the thing that malfunctioned. So you are not responsible for the death, in this case there in Snohomish County, of the motorcyclist. And I was looking it up, the bunch of different law firms that are trying to figure out, you know, how much responsibility do you have? There is the thing called the last chance, which is if you're the driver in the car that plows into somebody in front of you, they always assume that you have the last chance to stop the accident. So if you didn't apply the brakes, you weren't paying attention, they get you on that. Here you are in the car, I guess because you're still actively behind the wheel and you haven't given over full responsibility to the car. It's not totally autonomous. Then you are still responsible for the actions of the car. But there is this fine line, I guess, who's really driving?
Well, this case, the guy admitted to looking down at his phone and he said the Tesla then lurched forward. And I guess a motorcycle was right in front of him. So he did admit to the distracted driving part. And yes, ultimately, you are responsible for that car and braking if something is in front of you. You'd think they would have detected the motorcycle because it does that, right? I mean, it's able to see what's in front of you or to brake accordingly. So how it happened with the car, nobody knows. But the fact is the guy was not paying attention.
Yeah, I'd seen somebody say the other day that, okay, if it's an autonomous car and the cops pull you over, who do they give the ticket to if you're just sitting in it? Because they think at some point the car is going to be like a box and it's rolling down the road. You're in the back seat doing work and this box is taking you from point A to point B. I assume it won't be able to speed, but there's that weird feeling of all of a sudden if something is out of your control, it malfunctions somehow, and now you're careening down the highway, sitting in the box, and have to get up to the front seat of the thing. But they'll have it worked out. In most cases, you know, there is malfunctions, but the majority of time, things are okay. It always goes back to the Otis elevator story that I told, that now Joe is acutely aware of the Otis elevator.
I take pictures every time I see one.
That's right. That's right. At the World's Fair, Sherry.
Heard it. Move on.
Okay. You know what? Then you know what? Well, I'm not going to do the show because occasionally I have to chew my cabbage twice.
All right. Is this the point you pause and you want me to say, well, what's the Otis elevator?
No. You know what? The show's supposed to be 4 hours long, but every time Andrew hits the whatever that button is again.
Heard it. Move on.
Okay. Now he's out of the fart in there. You're just truncating the show. You're not allowing me to expand on stuff.
You don't have to listen to him.
No, it's like going to a Leonard Skinner concert. People yell out Freebird like, no, heard it. Move on. What are you going to play?
Well, then the band should just ignore them and play the song anyway.
No. I am a follower of the angry man that tells us. I will get to the elevator story later.
Okay. You're welcome to do it now, if that's what you want to do.
Joe has really filled the first 20 minutes of the show with just some dark, horrible stuff. So far, we've had somebody dying in every story, Joe. You feeling all right?
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
Okay, I like the song just before you said that. $5 million bond for a man that randomly stabs another man in the neck at an Auburn casino. The guy goes in there. Well, how much of this story is covered by Coma? They pick up the whole thing?
Yes. All of it.
Oh, boy, here we go. Thank you, Coma.
I'm on the phone telling him that I love him.
Basically, all I could hear was his voice and a bunch of background noise and a bunch of music.
Leah Miller Espinoza recalls her last phone call with her boyfriend, Brandon, minutes before she says he was killed in a random attack inside Muckleshoot Casino.
He was such an amazing man, and he loved to make people laugh.
She was at the first court appearance for the suspect, Ricky Fuentes, where the judge signed off on a high bail requested by the state.
I'm going to set bail $5 million.
Auburn police in court documents allege Fuentes told an officer he went to the casino with the intent of killing an associate, but could not find him, so he went looking for someone else to kill. He told police he saw the victim being a bully at the craps table and admitted to stabbing him in the neck. Miller Espinoza can't make any sense of it.
Like, there was nothing possibly between the two of them. Brandon was not the type to start drama. Like,
Judge Jill Kling found probable cause to charge the 31-year-old with first-degree murder after the state argued he is a clear threat to community safety.
It was random. It was violent.
Prosecutors revealed Fuentes has a lengthy criminal history that includes an active warrant for assault in Olympia, plus pending cases for reckless driving and possession of dangerous weapons.
What is your message for the suspect?
I hope you rot in hell.
All right. What are we supposed to say about that? Who is this guy? Do we know anything else about him?
No. But,
yeah.
I mean,
was he out on various warrants and stuff? Did he get okay.
They did allude to that.
Yeah. Oh, shocking. Okay. Oh, because we can't put him in jail because we don't have any room because we don't have anybody that wants to work as a corrections officer. Or we don't have any room because we're on COVID lockdown. Or we don't have any room because the prosecutor or the judge lets him go. So eventually these guys snap and do this. So, yeah, he's looking for somebody else to attack. So he gets somebody who's apparently being a bully. Yikes. You know, this is one I was going to try to get one of these people on. Hundreds of high school and college students walk out of school today in protest of USAID to Israel. And I said to Joe, because we've done this once, Sherry, where we actually had a high school kid come on. I forget what the topic was. And we were very courteous. We let her, or didn't challenge her on a whole bunch of stuff. I just let her sort of lay it out there. I asked a few slight trenchant questions to get her to think. But we didn't beat her up because you can't do that. She was very nice, very well spoken. I forget what the topic was. In this case, could have gotten one of these kids on there. They're out there marching around. And you could easily ask them, you know, a few things about when they use particular words, because words have meaning. When you could talk about genocide, or you could talk about, you know, how Israel is has taken over Gaza and freedom, and you can get colonialization. You could talk about, they would have these buzzwords, but they wouldn't be able to back any of that. Is it worth talking to a high school kid about why they marched around?
I mean, it might be only to sort of get the connection. And Mayor Adams said something today, which was,
I think, Mayor Adams of New York City.
Yes, of New York City. He was talking about the fact that I think it was at Columbia or NYU. I'm not sure, but they had all of these tents set up, and all of the tents were almost identical to each other. And his point was, what did they have, a fire sale on these exact tents? And he said, this is an example of organizers putting this together and recruiting people to protest.
Yes.
And so I would be curious. And for instance, today, with all of the schools that walked out, the University of Washington, those students in Seattle, they did not walk out, but they say they're supporting the high schools. So it would be interesting to find out who is in charge of this, who rallies them together, who says, let's do this on a Tuesday morning. And what do you really know about the issue? Do you feel like you know it well enough that you could defend your position?
No, they don't. That's if you are no longer expressing rational thought when you are chanting and it's rhyming. You can immediately discount the person if there's an AA or an AB rhyme scheme and it's repeated over and over and over again. And if they don't have any of the facts, they'll just scream and yell and you know, run around. It's like, you know, chickens for KFC. It makes no sense, all the stuff that they spout, but somebody has told them this stuff. We talked about this yesterday. We had that cut from Barry Weiss. It's in here somewhere. Joe, where is that one? So Barry Weiss explained it the other day when she was talking about why the people in college are screaming and yelling about stuff. So Barry Weiss, former New York Times writer, left the New York Times, is on her own now. She does free press, has a podcast called Honestly. So she's sort of explaining the genesis of all of this and where it has come from and why they believe what they believe.
It is because they believe this, and they believe it is just. And their moral calculus is as crude as you can imagine. Israelis and Jews, powerful, successful colonizers, so they're bad. Hamas is weak. They're considered people of color, so they're good. And no, it doesn't matter that the majority of Israel Israelis are also people of color. That baby, he's a colonizer first and a baby second. That woman, gang raped by terrorists, shame it had to come to that, but she's a white oppressor. This is the ideology of vandalism in the true sense of the word. The Vandals sacked Rome. It is the ideology of nihilism. It knows nothing about how to build. It only knows how to tear down and destroy.
Right. So it is through the prism of DEI, which is this group, that group. It is the total and absolute abomination of the individual. The individual. You are not who you are. You are a white, or you are a black, or you are poor, or you are religious, or you are this. And then you're in that group. And so they see the world. It'd be great to live that way, because that's a good guy, bad guy, oppressor, oppressed. So they're out there marching around talking about, you know, Israel's occupation of Gaza. And you say, really? I thought they were out of there. How could there be genocide? So explain all of this. And does Israel have a right to defend itself? Well, Israel doesn't even have a right to have that land. But, you know, try to talk to somebody who's been brainwashed. It's very difficult. So Joe said no to having a high school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I have a high school education. I could stand in as a high school student.
Okay, go out and march around. Okay. Start chanting.
I'll call in.
All right, fine. Let's see. We do it to get to Sherry's story, which says that why are you less likely to die if your doctor is female? And then is it okay to go to a wedding and basically show up everybody by dancing better than anybody else? Tom Cruise had no problem with it.
We also have two requests for the elevator story.
Really?
Yeah, I'm
just... Well, don't I feel special? Well, I feel special. Okay. Does everybody want to hear the... Is that right? Everybody wants to hear the elevator story? Is that right?
Well, it's two people.
Wrong! Okay, fine. Oh, Teenie's back. Woo! Rested and ready to go, Sherry. So you don't need... Hi-yo! Teenie! Say hello to Sherry. Sherry, say hello to Sherry. Teenie? Hello to Sherry, your co-host. Come on, Teenie. Come on. Hold on, Sherry. She's got it.
Oh, right. Sure. We'll wait.
Hello, Susan.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Bye. That's really unpredictable.
Or do we? Do you want the Otis elevator now or not? Do you want it now? So many people, four people have written in.
Oh, no. We're up to like 12 and
counting. Oh, here we go.
I guess we
Andrew,
we
if you
know
will.
The answer to that.
It was 1854 or 7. I can't read my own writing. But anyway, it was a long, long time ago. A guy named Elijah Otis had come up with an elevator that everyone didn't trust. And then P.T. Barnum, during the New York Exhibition of Industrial Inventions, said to Otis, "What you need to do there, boy, is you need to be able to demonstrate it in a particular way that makes people feel better about it, because nobody wants to buy your elevator because they simply don't trust it." Otis says, "Well, how can I go about doing that?" P.T. Barnum's, "Well, let me tell you, you gotta demonstrate that the brake works. That's the biggest concern, because Otis had only sold like 3 or 4 of these elevators before the big, big fair. So then he decided, well, what I'll do is I'll get on top of the elevator and I'll have somebody with a giant sword cut the rope, and then the elevator will stop in place." And P.T. Barnum said, "Well, that's not a bad idea, but a better idea would have a woman with a parasol, an umbrella. She'd be underneath that thing. You get off the top of it, have somebody a big sword with a cut that rope and have the woman underneath." So P.T. Barnum stood off the side. "Ladies and gentlemen, step off the side. If you're an older woman or a younger woman, a young person, that might faint easily. If this might be too exciting for you, you need to look away. Look away, because what you're about to see is going to be way too exciting for everybody. Now watch now as we cut the rope. Oh my goodness, there's a woman underneath a giant elevator. Well, she's got an umbrella, but that's not going to protect her life. Not from that elevator. Now watch this." And with that, the rope would be cut and the elevator would come down, bang, and stop right there, right above the woman with the parasol, with the umbrella. And Otis elevators became an international hit. And that's the story of the Otis elevator. And every time you get on one, you're like, oh, there, you look down the floor. Joe's like, oh, there's an Otis. They're all Otis. Sure. Those elevators. It's P.T. Barnum that helped them sell it. Because he hardly sold any until that big, you know, big demonstration. All right?
Wonderfully told. Thank you.
Thank you. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody? Any other requests, let me know. The Inside Secrets Retreats of the Mega, 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 Mega Rich. The Super Rich. Where are they going for their big world retreat, Sherry?
Well, they are going to places that are sometimes very, very far away and sometimes right here in the United States. There's a Colorado trip. There's a Sicilian resort. There's a Utah ski lodge. And these are people that are getting together not just to have a great time, but also to discuss things. For instance, one of the discussion topics at one of these very fancy events was, can you marry a robot?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. There are also celebrity performances.
Uh-huh.
They have people helping them, advisors helping them figure out which one of these things to attend.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something called the Brilliant Minds Conference. Gwyneth Paltrow, Obama, those are of the ones that went there. Elon Musk passed on Davos because he wanted to go to something called The Weeknd. And The Weeknd is, I guess, a meeting of the minds of the very rich.
Oh, I thought it was I Can't Feel My Face. I thought it was The Weeknd singing that song.
No, wow. No.
Thank you.
There is a Google camp that's in Sicily.
Uh-huh.
And that included people like Prince Harry and Harry Styles. So it's the elite.
Yeah, right. So they have something to do because they're bored. They have so much money. Don't know what else to do with it. The rule is, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. All right? Mm. Get out of that room. Go to some room where you're not the smartest person.
All right. I'll be right back.
Right. No.
Wow. Nice.
Woo.
Nice.
No sound effect for that one? Come on. Andrew, what are you doing in there? Right. That's okay. Boy, if you walked in there and saw Gwyneth Paltrow, you'd be like, all right, I'm getting out of this room.
What's her big call? It's Goop? Is that her?
Yeah, but I mean, just generally, you want to go to these things. It's like something to do. Somebody else that's super rich, go, hey, you want to go to that thing? Yeah, they get their private jet and fly to this thing, and they're all there talking to people. Plus, also, it's an opportunity to, you know, find new ventures and see new things to invest your money in. You get in early on AI, and all of a sudden, because somebody tells you something, say, hey, invest in this or invest in that, you go to that thing. If I had a lot of money, I would do that.
This is where the real insider trading happens.
Yes, right? Yes, because when someone says this is going to be an investment, if I had all that time and a lot of money and I had a jet to fly around, I'd go to those things. Think of all the great stories you get.
Sure.
You're hanging around with those people. Of course, you got to be somebody, right? You got to, who are you and what are you, you know, who, you know, why does this person know that person? You know, you're always in the outside circle, you know, on the outside, and the other people are getting into the super cool. You get invited to the real party or the thing of stuff. People are really networking.
Have you heard of, it's Bohemian Grove and it started in the 1800s.
Yeah.
That's like one of these real super elitist, like secret societies, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's it. Get into one of those or Davos or something like that. Walk around those. I had seen, we got to do this story, by the way, at some point, Joe, you got to leave me enough time to rail on it. I guess they're in the, are they senators? They're state senators in California? Yes, I think they are. State senators in California. There's one on the right and one on the left. They want to get rid of CLEAR, Sherry. You know what CLEAR is, right?
Yes.
They want to eliminate CLEAR. CLEAR, by the way, is you pay $149 a year and you go off to the side. It clears who you are. And then the person walks you up and just butts you right in front of everybody in the TSA line, but then you still have to go through the rest of the rigmarole that doesn't really do anything, but you're going to bypass the rest of the people that are there. They want to get rid of it. They say it's not fair and there's no equity because you're just paying to cut in front of everybody. Well, CLEAR gets money and takes that money, gives a portion of it to the airlines. They like it because they want to get you on there. And here's the sort of weird part of it. We could talk later on. To identify you and who you are, and you have a boarding pass, That's not under the TSA umbrella. TSA is involved in making you throw out 3 ounces of water or something else, and TSA is involved with fondling your genitals. That's the TSA's job, right? That's what they want to do. Or the back of their hand as they reach up and down your through your thigh. Because everybody knows the back of the hand is not as sexually violating as the front of the person's hand. So that's TSA. Shoes, liquids, that's them. They're looking for that. They're not involved in the boarding pass. So they said, Clear said, okay, then we'll do the boarding pass thing. We'll make sure that that's you, that's your boarding pass, that's who you are. So when you step up to the TSA line, they just go, these guys are clear. And then you zip right on in and wait for the fondling.
Do you know that Clear is only in 50 airports across the country? It's not everywhere. And the TSA people are all for this, by the way.
They want to get rid of it.
Yeah, they want to get rid of Clear.
And I don't know how much of it is just they're jealous. Like, why should somebody be able, just because you have more money, get ahead of everybody else? It sounds like you have that much more money. You earned it. You decided you want to pay $149 to not have to wait in a big long line. The other people could easily pay $149 a year if they wanted to, if it meant something to them, if their time was that valuable, they would get into that line. But these guys out of California and some others are starting to get on board with this. No, we should all be equally miserable. Well, no, maybe the person in the Clear line doesn't have a whole lot of money, but they want to take some of the money that they have earned and buy this service. They don't like it because they want everybody, you know, to, you know, be stuck in the line. No rich guys. Well, why should the rich guy get ahead? I always say to the Clear guy that lets me, I said, do you people give you a hard time? He's like, yeah, you know, just best not to look at anybody.
But you said it's only 100 and what a year?
149 a year. Is that what it is?
That's not really like rich guy gatekeeping. Like,
no, but according to the people in California, these elected officials, they want to get rid of it because it's not.
But they say it's an equity issue and that it's about fairness and the exacerbation of socioeconomic disparities.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's sad, isn't it, that some people are going to spend $149 on that and other people are not. Take that away, right?
Money buys you access and convenience.
Right.
So if you have it, you can spend it on convenience if you want to. It's ridiculous.
There's enough people that hate the rich that are like, why do they have that? They have that either, and it's not even rich, right?
That's 12 bucks a month.
12 bucks?
Yeah, I mean, if you fly enough, it's absolutely worth it. I have the other one. There's just the TSA one.
Right, which is less money, but it still gets you ahead of everybody. But they like that one because that's government controlled.
Good point.
They, I'll tell you something. They'll have to take my Clear thing out of my cold, dead hand.
Your Clear thing.
They didn't give you like a badge. It's just the fingers. Yeah.
Like now
fingers
they're saying that they want Clear to have its own dedicated line.
Right. So then they would bypass TSA. Well, they know Clear's not going to do that. They don't have enough money for that. So, but
there's
it is
not enough space in the airport either.
Plus, they say, the guy said to me, yeah, just don't look at anybody. Don't look him in the eyes. Because the people are like, what? Why? How is he getting ahead of me?
Everyone on the text line is saying, how is this different than the Disneyland Fast Pass or Express lanes on the freeway?
Right, well, that's, exactly.
Well, yeah.
There you go.
Thank you, everybody. Disneyland is not taken over by the government yet. At 4:06, a former FBI, CIA intelligence officer is going to join us and tell me what I got wrong about the latest changes regarding 702, the FISA, and NSA collection of data on Americans. I guess he's going to say that we're all safe, I'm assuming, right, Joe?
No, I think he's just going to he's going to make his case for why it is important.
Oh, okay, got it. But in the meantime, this lady could have used some help from from NSA, because she decided she wanted to have a birthday party for her kid. How old was the kid?
One.
Oh boy. Uh-oh.
I just made an Evite for my daughter's first birthday party. And on Evite, it says import contacts. And I thought it meant import to select through. No. It imported all 487 of my contacts and invited them to this birthday party. I only did invite my boss.
Now, that's not the bad thing. It's not everybody of the all the contacts are going to make it to your one-year-old's birthday party, right? That's not the problem. It wasn't gosh, I don't have enough cake and ice cream.
Well, it's one of the problems if more people show up than she's accommodated for. But there's another kind of bigger problem.
All of the people that have ever been stored in my phone, but it sent an invitation based off of how they're stored in my phone.
Oh, boy. How they're stored in her phone. So not like, you know, Bob Smith. Right? She doesn't have it in there under Bob Smith or something.
And I want you to just take a second and think about everyone stored in your phone and how they're stored in your phone. And then imagine them receiving an invitation. Derek Irol, he received an invitation. Jess hit her car in parking lot. Anyways, I have to quit or get a new identity. I don't even know.
Everyone that I had ever put in my phone. Like, anyone that I had ever put in my phone. And not only that, it's everyone I put in my phone as they are stored in my phone. I'm 30 years old and I'm married. And it's like, cute boy from the bar.
Yeah, that's it. But I didn't realize, because I most of the people on my phone are in there under stuff I can remember them
right.
by. And when I send him a text message, it doesn't come up as that.
No.
Okay.
You get worried for a second?
Yes. Yeah,
I would never take that risk.
What do you mean?
Well, the things I would say about what I really felt about people, if they ever got a hold of it, it would be bad. I'm careful that anything that I would text out would be okay.
Stay off of Evite.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Just going through my list of people here. Oh, boy. Yeah, just some... Because it helps you remember who they are.
Yeah, the descriptions are typically the worst. Like, oh, this guy with that weird ear.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you don't really know who they are, why do you have their number?
Well, because you meet them and then they're like, hey, I want to hire you for an auction or I want to come rent the barn or whatever. And then you're like, okay. And then I don't really, so then I just try to remember who they are. They put their number in your phone or something. Then you got to remember them by. So then you're like, guy with weird forehead man. And then I put / barn. And then I remember, oh, that's the guy with the weird forehead that wants to rent the barn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. All righty, let's check Nate over there. I have him in my phone under extremely good-looking guy that talks nothing else but other than traffic. Here he is.
Wow, thanks, John.